Blog Talk Radio.
I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Our guest who was expected tonight was not able to make it, so we have rescheduled her to come on in the next 2 weeks. In the meantime, today we are going to speak more on the event that we have coming up in June and about the issues that we are going to be addressing, treatment and sentencing of incarcerated individuals in U.S. prisons compared to the appropriate education, rehabilitation, treatment, and successful releases in other countries. The United States of America has a major problem in the way they sentence people. I don't know if any of you have ever heard, but I've heard of people being sentenced to 300 years. There was one, I couldn't believe, 1,800 years. We have a government that doesn't know what they're doing, especially when it comes to incarcerating their own citizens of the United States of America. We have people in prison who are suffering from abuses and violations every single day, just like now we're hearing of mass shootings every single day around the country. Something is definitely not going right, and we need to address these issues. We have an event coming up in June of 2023, which will be addressing a lot of these issues. Dorothy D'Agostino and myself and others have been working ceaselessly to try to unite everyone around the country, advocates, members, family members of the incarcerated, friends. We are trying to recruit others to join us in the month of June to do some calls, emails, letter writing, massive, around the country, to reach out to our media who only reports one-sided stories, which has to stop. We have to reach out to our legislative members who need to start going into the prisons and meeting with the incarcerated individuals to talk to them about the things that are going on inside. We need to look at governors around the country who are insanely sentencing people, having people sentenced, harsh sentencing, denying them parole and pardons most of the time. 2.3 million in America, the highest of any other country. Prisoners forced to double cell, especially when receiving life sentences. Caged like animals, forced to share a small cell with another lifer, when in fact they should have their own little cubbyhole if they must spend the rest of their lives behind prison walls. We have a high percentage of suicides going on around the country because incarcerated individuals can no longer take the abuses. They can no longer take any of this. People make mistakes, and it's okay when a politician or when someone else in the community with power and wealth makes a mistake. It's okay to say they made a mistake and they can't undo it. Look at our incarcerated individuals who have made a mistake and they can't undo it, but yet they're getting the death penalty. They're getting life and life without parole sentences. 77 years, 65 years. People in prison today that are in wheelchairs, Alzheimer's, dementia, and yet they're still in prison at the ages of 70, 80, 90 years of age. We have people in prison who have been in solitary confinement for 30 and 40 years. People have been incarcerated for 40 and 50 years. Where is the mentality? Where is the neutralism? Because when we have judges, they should be neutral. They shouldn't be taking sides. They shouldn't be giving these harsh sentences. When we have governors, they should be thinking neutral as well. This country and many other countries have said this. This country is too focused on vengeance, retaliation, hate, racism. They don't look at the poverty. They don't look at the average citizen. They look at the ones that they want to associate with, the wealthy, the powerful, the corrupt, the greed. We have to do something about it. And we are going to be talking about that this evening because June is soon approaching. We are looking at many issues that we are going to be dealing with, and that includes defunding the DOC around the country until we see transparency in the way the demonstration between interaction between the prisoners and the staff, between the programs that are offered to all prisoners, not just a few, not just some, but to all prisoners, and not just GEDs, because we have 2.3 million. We have many, many, many behind those prison walls that have education, that are very intelligent, more so some of them than our own government leaders. We need to look at these people and getting the right educational programs, not being denied. We need to also look at the restoration of the rights to vote. Prisoners in this country should never lose their rights to vote. They have done nothing to this country. And there are people right now getting a slap on the hand for doing major damage to this country, and yet they haven't lost their voting rights. As a matter of fact, our government's too afraid to even prosecute some of them. We need to look at all these things. We need to look at our medical providers, the contracted medical providers in the prisons today, permanently damaging people, doing half-assed jobs when they do medical. And here, many are not even licensed to practice in the surgeries that they do. We need to look at replacing them, having them replaced with appropriate, licensed, and experienced medical providers. We need to look at the Department of Mental Health. We have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions, and yet Department of Mental Health has not even made an attempt to go into the prisons and treat these individuals. There are so many issues that we will be looking at addressing in the month of June. We are right now compiling a list, contact list, of the names and titles, the telephone numbers, the emails, the physical addresses of those we want to reach out to. And for those of you out there in the communities and social media that want to join, let us know or come on and talk about it with us. We are going to be doing mass calls. We are going to be doing mass emails and letter writing. And the media needs to be addressed, and they need to be focusing on inside those prison walls instead of focusing on those that are going to prevent them from going to prison, those that are preventing them from getting DUIs and getting speeding tickets. The media is also supposed to be neutral in reporting, yet they report one-sided stories. There was another shooting in Tennessee a couple of days ago. It was supposed to be a trans that did the shooting. And I felt bad because it was at a school that that person went to. Our government talks about bullying. A lot of these people that have been bullied throughout the years for being something that they can't help themselves to be killed or to be bullied to the point where they want to kill, where they want to repay those who treated them so poorly when they were young. We have to look at all sides to a story. As Marion Jacobs, psychosocial therapist, says at all times, we need to look at the causes of crime. People can't help themselves. Many cannot help themselves if they are of the GLBT groups. Many cannot help themselves. And yet, from childhood, they're bullied. They're picked on. They're tormented because they can't help themselves. This person went to the school and shot 3 children and 3 adults. We've been looking at our legislative members. We've been looking at the NRA, who refuses to do anything about gun control. Yet, if they were willing to cooperate and do the right thing, these mass shootings wouldn't be taking place. A father, not only a father, but some parents were thrown out of a house meeting where they were talking about gun control. These people that were thrown out and one was arrested are the very people that lost their children in the mass shootout, Parkland shootout in Florida. They were thrown out of a meeting involving gun control. Our government has a lot to learn, but as long as we continue to allow these things to go on without opening our mouths, without even trying to get to these people, without even trying to get to the media, to the governors, to the legislative members, without even trying to let them know how we feel, without even trying to demand that these changes be made, it's going to continue. More people will be shot. More people will be killed. Harsher sentencing will be done, if it could be any harsher. These people in prison are human beings. They're not animals. And these corporations that are making so much money on them, it needs to stop. We need to stop buying from these corporations if they have the mentality of using the incarcerated to make billions of dollars on them on their own. And these people that are doing it inside are only getting paid less than a dollar a day. This is the United States of America. This is the country that thinks it's so powerful it's going to tell other countries how to operate. And yet other countries are better off than we are. And then with all the issues we have in this country, what are we doing but going into somebody else's business to the point where we're funding and we're sending weapons to other countries, whereas right now a lot of countries are coming together because they're preparing for this nuclear war, this World War III, thanks to the United States of America. We're going to go on now. We're going to introduce the calls that are on with us now, and I'm going to ask both of them to state their name, talk about their feelings about all of these injustices going on in the United States of America. And we'll start off with Dorothy, I believe it is, 215. Dorothy D'Agostino.
Good evening. This is Dorothy Jean D'Agostino calling. I would like to voice my opinion on some true facts that a lot of people aren't aware of. And myself, I was not aware of. The Constitution of the United States of America, among others, penalty for those with severe mental illness. They forbid an execution for a mental ill person. That isn't happening. It is more wide that the state of Texas has executed mental illness gentlemen and women that has been forbidden years and years and years ago with the Constitution of the United States. They are not abiding by their own ruling. Mental illness president of the Tennessee Psychiatric Association urges halt to death penalty for the mentally, they forbid mentally ill people to get executed. Texas just passed a bill that anyone that was imprisoned by 21 will not get the death penalty. Good ruling. And I hope other states will see that also. But what about the 25-year-olds and the 26-year-olds, the 27-year-olds that have life without parole? That is a death sentence as far as I'm concerned. No one does anything about that. I think that should be addressed. Life without parole and a life sentence is the same as a death penalty, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. My son is serving life without parole. But I am going to do every damn thing I possibly can to change that ruling. Life without parole and the life sentence is nothing but a death penalty. We need to address that as well. Another thing, mental illness. People, please, let's go with the facts of what is occurring in institutions with mental illness. These young men and women, they're humans. Yes, they may have a number, but as far as I'm concerned, they're someone's loved child. They're human. A lot of the people that have been incarcerated have had molesting done by their own family members, and that has been on their minds for many years, and that caused a mental illness. Look at what they have gone through as children. If we could walk 1 mile, not even a mile, in their shoes, how would we react? How would we feel? Duration. There are people that have many, many piles of money that get away with even murder. But if you don't have money, they throw the book at you. We're just as human as the ones with lots of money. We need to address all this, the mass incarceration, mental illness, life without parole, so many other factors. Please step forward and help us in the month of June and direct these things. And let's get our pen and pencils and our voices on the phone and call the legislators, call the governors, tell them how we feel. Let's speak for our loved ones. Remember, they're not a number, they're a human being. Thank you.
And thank you, Dorothy. Our other caller dropped. I want to reiterate what Dorothy is saying, mentally ill, about the treatment. And everyone always talks about the victim, which is obvious. We have to consider the victims. But we have to consider the victims on both sides. We have to consider the victims in the communities as well as the victims behind those prison walls. Because these people behind the walls, not all of them are victims. But what happens in society, people focus on the ones that are really bad, the ones that are serial killers, the ones that are mass terrorists, whatever the case may be. You focus on them. But out of 2.3 million, there's got to be over a million who are just the opposite. We have people in prison that are wrongfully convicted. That makes up a lot of the thousands and thousands of prisoners behind those walls. Wrongfully convicted. We look at the first-time offenders, and we look at the victims that became offenders. We have to realize a lot of people who were violated as children, who were abused, a lot of these things that they experienced, and they were able to overcome as children, but it never left them. It's always been there, but they were resilient. Sometimes we have things happen in our lives that we can just ignore. We can continue to ignore it, until someday one thing will happen to break the camel's back. One incident will be one incident too much. When we're living in a country that consistently talks about other people, consistently puts people down, makes fun of people because they're different, or looks down upon them because they don't have the blessings that the wealthy have. And I want to tell the wealthy and the powerful, just like it says, I'm going to say Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, but he did it all on his own. A lot of you people that have the power, the fame, you have a blessing that you don't even realize that you can lose as well as quick as you gained it. And the people out there in the communities that are struggling, that are suffering, that are being looked down upon, that are being thrown in prison, that don't have the money to hire lawyers, and the lawyers they do get many times are corrupt lawyers. They'll take bribes, or they'll work on both sides. They'll work with the DOC, and they'll work with the prisoners. Many people can testify to that. It's happened with their own situations. This country is all about power, fame, and greed. We have a lot of insecure people in this country that feel they have to go with the side that's going to make them look big and powerful, even though they know their peers, their corrupt peers, are just that, corrupt. But yet they'll side with them because they want to fit in. Sometimes it's better to have very little acquaintances or very little friends rather than to have a lot of friends that are into so much corruption, that have so much hatred, that are out to get so many people that haven't done anything to them. There are people in society that will cause somebody to go to prison. They will seek the vulnerable. They will pick out the vulnerable ones, the innocent ones, and they will use them and abuse them, take advantage of them, and then leave them. These are things that happen. But people in society, they don't look at that. They look at who's going to make them look good. But who are you looking good to? The same low-down, wealthy, powerful, greedy, corrupt individuals. If that's the way you want to be, if you want to be in that situation, so be it. I hope you're happy. But if you don't, then join us. Join everybody that's trying to seek justice for all, not just for the very few elites. There's been a lot of people who have been talking about wanting to do something about it as well. A lot of them want to do something. They don't know how to go about it. And if they do know who to call, they don't know what to say. Say exactly what's on your mind, just as Dorothy just said. In her research, she learned that mentally ill people should not be executed. And how many mentally ill people have been executed throughout the years? And how many people have been executed only to find out later that they were actually innocent? We have a death penalty that doesn't make sense. A death penalty that was established by our government leaders as a punishment to those who commit capital crimes, to those who murder. Our government, the only solution they see is to murder themselves. Somebody that's murdered. Does it make sense? Think about it. Does it make sense? Are we punishing someone that committed a crime, a fatal crime, by committing a fatal crime ourselves as our leaders, lawmakers? A child could think better than that. And then we're giving people life and life without parole sentences. For what? We're the only country. All other countries is 25 years maximum for any crime, unless it's terrorism, unless it's serial killings and mass murders. 25 years is max. It's plenty, because if we look around us now compared to when we graduated from high school, how much has changed? If we look around us now compared to 5 years ago, how much has changed? I grew up in a area that was, years ago, was like country. Almost like country, and now it's all built up. Crime is on the rise. But we see a lot of crime today in politics. a lot of crime today in politics. What some of our former and present, some of our legislative members, our government leaders that have committed crimes today, our lawmakers are too afraid to even do anything about it. I was watching the news the other day, and they were talking about this. They were saying, do you think this person's going to get prosecuted? And the one that was being interviewed said, 7 years now. The legislative members for 7 years has been talking about the same individual that should be prosecuted, but they're too afraid to do it. And everyone knows who I'm talking about. 7 years. Let it be anyone in the street. Let it be any one of us in the communities. It would have been 7 days. When they hold these trials for people that have committed crimes, these trials are over in 7 business days. And we have a government who's so intelligent, so smart, that it's taken them 7 years, and they're still talking about it. We have a media that will not go into the prisons to meet with the incarcerated individuals to give them a voice, but the media will report every single day, if everyone notices, on MSNBC, on CNN, on Fox News, every single day. It's the same old BS. Now, do you see the difference between the average citizen of the United States and its government? And then the poor, the poverty-stricken, who can't afford lawyers, who live in the streets, who are being shot down for no reason, who are crying out for justice. And we who have the power to do it, we who have some power to make a change, some motivation, we have to do something. Have to do something. We cannot continue to see this go on and not do about it. And for those of you who talk about the racial issues, one of the things we have to do is get over things in order to see this. We have to move forward. We cannot remain in the past, because what's happening and remaining in the past is this bringing all this crap to the past. We need to come together in unity with any race, in all races, that want to come together in unity to fight this injustice. We need to put aside, if only for the month of June, put aside differences. Now, we've been on this radio show talking about these things for the last month, and we haven't gotten any further in people coming on to talk about it. We haven't. So we need to start looking at uniting for justice. Because if all of you realize now, the injustice is not just about race. The injustice is hitting all races. White, black, browns, red, beige, all races. So let's put aside our differences and start looking at the real problems at this point in time. The real problems is the injustice in the United States of America. And if we ourselves are going to be reluctant to unite, and then we're part of the problems. That's all I have to say. We're part of the problem. Come June, we're going to find out what's more important to all of you. We're going to find out if you're really worried about the injustices going on in the United States when it comes to the incarcerated, when it comes to the poverty-stricken, when it comes to these people that are suffering so much, or if the focus is going to remain on what used to be. And if it remains on what used to be, we're not going to see anything going forward in June. Now, Dorothy, if you'd like to say something on that, I welcome you for your philosophy, your opinion, or whatever it might be.
We have to bond together as one. We cannot be separated with these issues. This is affecting our loved ones. It is affecting their family because their loved ones are not home. Please, let's all bond together, not separated, together. We can do this. We can show the legislators, we can show the governors that we mean business. Let's show them we are their voice. Have one inside. Let's show them that we are their voice. I want to say that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dorothy. I'm sorry.
We are working hard. Leona and I are working hard. We're getting all this together. We connect practically daily and put our input of what we need to get done, and we are going to get it done. It would help if we would have other people by our side, and we could do it a lot faster, a lot quicker. Stand up for the month of June. In fact, let's stand up now and promote what we are going to do and go fast forward. We can do this, not just in the month of June, always. There's 12 months in a year. Let's work on 12 months in a year for our loved ones, for the governors to know we mean business. We're tired of their crap that they say they're going to do something and they don't do poop. Let's get busy. Thank you.
I'm going to ask 410 to speak as well. I want to say one thing real quick to all of you wives and girlfriends, all of you mothers and daughters. I want to say that a lot of the incarcerated around the country are going to be writing to legislative members because they can't make calls and they cannot email the media or the legislative members, but they are going to be writing letters. So if they can do it and you love them so much, then please try to get involved. At least let them know that you're supporting them. Because a lot of times people will fall in love with someone they know will never get out so that they don't have to worry about that person ever getting involved with someone else. Now, we have heard mothers on social media say they're glad that their loved one's incarcerated because they're not doing drugs. Well, let me tell you something. You go on the internet and you type in guys being caught bringing in drugs, you're going to find out more drugs in the prison than are on the outside sometimes. So if you think that your loved one is going to be better off behind those prison walls, you are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. 410, I'd like to have you speak. If you want, please state your name.
My name is Josie Maminsky, and I'm engaged to a guy serving a life without parole who's Dorothy Dean's son. And what's been on my mind is the substandard medical and mental health care that are in the prisons.
Exactly. Exactly. What are your thoughts on that, Josie? Please tell the audience about that. Because I say this all the time, we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses. And what are they doing but putting them all in prison when they should be in hospitals? It doesn't make sense to me that mentally ill should be in a prison where there's no real professional, intense mental health treatment. What are your thoughts?
And that's the reason why. The reason why most, incarcerated people are there usually has to do with a mental illness of some sort. And, just to keep them, behind bars, and then of course they're going to act up or have an episode or whatever, and then they're going to end up in the hole. So their solitary confinement, which is just going to worsen their condition. So
exactly.
It would just become a revolving door for them.
I want to say, you mentioned once before that you were a former law enforcement, and the person that we were supposed to interview today, she's a former correctional officer, and she had just gotten back from, I guess she had been out of state, and she had just gotten back, and she was bringing her daughter she had to get out of the road, I guess, in school. But she is a former correctional officer, and she's got something prepared for July 22nd, and I've been sending that around to everyone as well. And that involves the tortures that go on in the prisons. Now, when you have former correctional officers, former law enforcement, people that are talking about these things, it's even more important for people to listen. Because, as I say before, I've interviewed people that were former correctional officers that have talked about the treatment. And Donald J. Vodica, for one, in one of the largest prisons in California, actually, he's written a book since then, The Green Wall, but he exposed his peers. There were several of them that had been doing a lot of illegal stuff going on in the prisons. They were doing a lot of drugs and abuses and everything else. And he ended up exposing them. And Michael Johnson was another one, a lieutenant with the Montana Department of Correction, talking about the treatment there. And we've had so many people that have talked about it that have actually had the personal experience of being in those prisons and seeing the injustices, the abuses, and the inappropriate treatment. I thank you for coming on, Josie. I think it's very important that people know, and I admire anyone that is courageous enough to be able to talk about these things that have gone on, that they have seen in their time of working with these areas. And as I say all the time, there are good correctional officers, there's good law enforcement, there are good prison officials, but then again, there's a lot of bad ones out there, a lot of corrupt, a lot of them that are criminals just like the ones they oversee. And a lot of people that are working with them, their own peers, that don't like what they're doing, are too afraid to come forward. And they have said so many times, so many people have said, if they won't come forward, then they're part of the problem as well. So I really appreciate what you're seeing, Josie, and I really appreciate others that have come on the show to talk about some of these things. When I think about the Lowell prison in Florida, the female prison where these women were all being raped by the guards, I feel myself that male guards should be in male prison and female guards should be in female prison. I don't see anywhere where they should be having male and female in the prisons. I don't see it. And this has to be another thing that changes as well.
I don't think there'd be enough female correctional officers to be in the prisons for females alone.
You know,
I think
sometimes
the female is very low compared to the male.
Well, you know, I've been in, as I said, in 2006 when I was being trained in mental health, one of the things I see is there are women in there, but there's a lot of women that are very masculine, I might say. So I don't know. I just feel that they shouldn't be put in female prisons, male and males together in prison. They don't, especially for those that are in for life or serving life sentences, to be seeing female guards and female staff around them all the time. And like I say, there's been too many rapes in the prisons for women and the female. But I think that if the prisons were run differently, if the Department of Corrections around the country were operating appropriately, I think there would be a lot of women that would be in these female prisons. Because a lot of women have a lot to offer other females. And a lot of these women in prison, they have been victimized as well. A lot of them. They might have been, as children, violated. They might have been in domestic violence situation. They might have been in all kinds of situations where they need more support than they need to be thrown in prison for life and life without parole. And women have a tendency to support women better than male guards because their focus will be on something else. Their focus will be on female individuals that have no future. They're behind the prison walls. The media is not going in. No one's seeing what's happening until it gets so bad that it leaks out somehow. And males, just as well, they need support. there's a lot of people behind those prison walls. They weren't born to become victims, but somehow some things happened along the way to make them change. They weren't born thinking that they were going to go to prison. They weren't born thinking they were going to do evil. Many of them need that support. And one of the things I've noticed is there are a lot of male prisoners that with the right females that are supporting them, they can change. They can change. I've heard of these girls that have loved ones, boyfriends inside, and they're talking just like their boyfriends. Yo, mama. Well, I mean, what kind of woman is going to be yo, mama, because she hears it from the prisoners or her boyfriend talks that way? That's not helping the boyfriend to change. That's not helping them to mature or to be more responsible. Women, appropriate women, are going to support their loved ones and try to make them better, not have them stoop down to a low level to impress their boyfriends. These are some of the things that we have to look at. But getting back to the issues that we want to address in June, we want to also, again, address housing prisoners according to their age appropriateness. The youth with the youth, gang members with gang members, elderly with elderly, in between middle-aged with middle-aged. They have to stop this barbaric entertainment that they try to put together, these prison officials. They have to stop housing all of these people together. The prisons are full enough when they have to double cell, but to put all these different groups together when they're all so different. People may stereotype. They might think all prisoners are the same, but that's totally off. As you, Josie, I'm sure you can agree to that. Prisoners are different.
Yeah, definitely.
So many times we're dealing with people that they have the mentality that all prisoners are the same. One girl, I have to say, this one girl, she's an advocate. She has a loved one inside. And when we talked about abolishing the death penalty, life without life sentences and all that, she said that she wasn't really in agreement with it. And I said, why? And she said, because she was raped and the person got away with it. But this person is not from the United States. She's from another country. But if the person got away with it, it's sad that he got away with it. But at the same time, don't hold it against all incarcerated individuals, because all incarcerated individuals are different. There was another advocate. She had a loved one. She was from Australia. She had a loved one in Texas. And she was flying back and forth every year to be with them. She was sending him money and everything else, only to find out one day she saw that he was on one of these pen pal sites trying to get a girlfriend or a wife. I remember her first name was Lorraine. Years ago, I don't know whatever happened to Lorraine, but she was broken. She was really broken because he did this to her. But this is what happens sometimes. There's good and bad behind those prison walls. There's good and bad in the communities. There's good and bad in each person's home. When we talk about cultures, it's not only about race. Sometimes when we talk about cultures, we're talking about differences, even in your own home. My mother used to say, no two people are exactly alike. And that's true, not only in the homes, but in the communities, in the prisons, wherever they may be. And this is why it's so important for our legislative members to go into these prisons. That's why it's so important for the media to go into these prisons and meet with these individuals. Give them a voice. Try to find out what caused them to do what they did. And somebody mentioned what we should also focus on is parole reform, because the parole board consists of mostly law enforcement or government. And if they can call people from the communities to sit in on jury duty, they should be able to do the same thing with the parole board. I don't know how many times I used to get called in for jury duty, only to find out there was nothing going on that day. But why don't they do this? Why don't they invite politicians and people in the government? Why don't they invite them to sit on jury duty? If they're not going to do it, then don't do it with the parole board either. Allow people from the communities to be in there. Allow social workers, allow psychologists and psychiatrists, medical providers to sit in on these parole boards. Another thing is remorse. Everybody knows men are taught from the time they're born not to cry. People don't show emotions the way that the parole board might want them to show emotions, or the media. Everybody shows emotions in a different way. As much as I have been hurt in my lifetime, even I know how to hold back tears because I don't want to feel weak. And a lot of people out there, I'm sure, including you, Josie, and you, Dorothy, and everybody listening, a lot of people don't want to show tears. They don't want to show their emotions. So when people go before the parole board and the parole board says, I don't think you've demonstrated remorse or you've shown remorse, they're not psychiatrists and they're not psychologists. Put somebody that's trained in that area on the parole board. Put a psychiatrist on, a psychologist on, a social worker, a counselor, whether it be a mental health counselor or whether it be a substance abuse counselor. Put them on. Because that's who should be diagnosing. That's who should be meeting and listening to these people. Everything is government. How do you see any progress made? How do you see any appropriate rehabilitation? How do you see any releases if you've got the same people that are so bent on incarcerating, so bent on harshest punishment to be on the parole board? And Dorothy, you know about the governor in Texas with the death penalty. Somebody that's so miserable.
He has a mental problem himself, and he doesn't want other people. He's executing people because of his own anguish.
And that's
it's
what's happening. It is. I mean, I feel bad for people that are crippled. I feel bad for people that will never walk again. But I'll tell you, if I was in a position like that, I wouldn't be so hateful and angry towards people behind the walls that are physically healthy to want to see them torn down to nothing or killed because misery loves company. And it makes me wonder about other governors in other states. What are their reasoning behind their determination to make somebody punish somebody so much that they're going to make them stay in behind the walls for the rest of their lives being treated like animals or those being put to death? What does it tell you about other governors in other states?
The last execution, there was two of them. Both were mentally ill individuals. The needle was inserted in his body 26 times because they could not find the vein. They finally did it through his foot. 26 times he went into agony and he had a mental problem. Governor Abbott enjoyed the pain that this gentleman went through, and he was mentally ill. This is so sad and sickening.
It's barbaric. It's barbaric. You know, I usually feel bad for somebody that's in a wheelchair or somebody that's physically disabled. But in this case, when I see somebody that's physically disabled, that has so much hatred in them because of those that look physically healthy, but they're behind walls, that's sick. That's a sick, sick individual that would do something like that. These people, they may look healthy behind those prison walls, but that's physically healthy. They don't know, Abbott or any other governor, they don't know what kind of disability they have mentally, emotionally, even if they are physically fit on the outside. And there's been so many people that went into prison physically fit, only to be permanently damaged by their medical, contracted medical providers. I know many that have been permanently damaged. And what happens? The Department of Correction still has them working with them. Look at this one here. Look at the doctor, Adriana Carrillo. This is a doctor that even one of her own peers said she's sick to do what she does. Her own peers, another doctor. Adriana Carrillo, a butcher surgeon, still working for the Department of Corrections, contracted to operate on people. We can't stand by and let these things happen. We can't. It's just disgusting. I don't know. Dr. Katharina Armstrong, a former Lemuel Shattuck Hospital employee, told GBH News that Dr. Adriana Carrillo is not only a dangerous surgeon, but lacks compassion and treats prisoners with disdain. She operated on one prisoner. She permanently damaged his arm. And then she laughed about it and said, he's going to have to live with it. Another prisoner, she operated on the wrong foot. Another prisoner, she operated leaving some steel object in the body. And the Department of Corrections still has her doing surgery, still has her operating. Come to find out, this woman isn't even licensed to do this kind of surgery. Where is everybody? Where is everybody in cases like this? I don't care if it's in the prisons, in the communities. Where are the advocates? Where are the family members? Where are we getting all this information out to let people know about these things? But everybody clams up like a shell, like a clam. Nobody says anything about anything. Yet there's a lot of talk going on as we speak. There's a lot of talk going on between family members and advocates and friends about all these injustices. But this is why nothing's getting done, because that's what they're doing. They're just keeping it focused on that little circle of theirs instead of coming together to do something about it. It's pitiful, because sometimes I can't even blame our legislative members. I can't even blame our leaders, because these people who complain so much are the ones, they're the problems, just like they say. If good guards don't report or expose their bad guards, or COs or officials or whatever, they're just as bad. They're part of the problem. Well, that's what we have in society today. Members in society who have loved ones inside, who have friends inside, know of people inside, and still doing nothing about it but talking amongst themselves. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I don't feel bad for people who say nothing until they're around their family or friends and they do so much talking. Keep your mouth shut if you can't bring it out in the open. And what would your loved ones think or say if they knew that you were on the outside doing all this big talk and doing nothing to help them when other people are trying? That's why I say prisoners have actually stated they're going to be writing to the legislative members during the month of June, just like all of us are going to be doing something, they're going to be doing something as well. Then maybe they'll be looking at their loved ones on the outside or doing absolutely nothing but talking amongst themselves. I told one incarcerated individual, the person that he thinks has been advocating for him, hasn't been sharing anything, hasn't been coming on the show, hasn't been doing anything. He's sending her information to bring out there, to get out there for the month of June to prepare, and we haven't seen it. So he said he was going to send it directly to us. But that's a shame. This is clear across the country. I don't know. But I do know one thing. We have We have another 35 minutes going, but we're going to close this down in about 5 minutes. So, Dorothy, Josie, if you want to say anything, please feel free to speak. And what we're going to do from now on, unless we know that people are going to stop doing so much talking on the outside and start doing so much talking and planning with us, what we're going to be doing to help these incarcerated individuals. We know what we're planning on doing to be with people.
As I have said, we don't need diarrhea of the mouth. We need the voices to help us go forward and to bring June a successful month and thereafter.
That's it. We have people that are doing, they're doing the research for their states. They're going to be sending us the information. But the ones that are doing a lot of talking, we haven't seen anything from them, but they're doing a lot of talking about joining. They're just, I don't know where they are. You know, this is why we have a problem in this country. Look at Israel. They have a mass protest going on. All those people out in the communities protesting because Netanyahu is, they're not in agreement with them. I mean, these are people out there protesting. We don't need to protest. All we need to do is plan on making calls and sending letters and writing emails. People don't even have to leave their homes. But we don't have motivated people in this country. We don't have motivated not even to do that, not even to sit at their table and make a few calls or write a few letters. It's sad. It's really sad. But Josie, I want to thank you again. I really admire, and I understand you might be getting married soon, huh?
Yes, April 14th.
I want to congratulate you, and I know that you're going to make a beautiful wife. I really do.
Thank you.
And Dorothy is she's a very proud mother-to-be mother-in-law. So, but I hope you'll give us an update on that after it's over with.
Oh, certainly.
So, audience, we're going to be closing down now in a few minutes. And I'd like, Dorothy, if you or Josie want to give any information to the audience, how they can get in contact with you, I can be reached at nvopres@verizon.net. That is nvopres@verizon.net. You can reach me on Messenger, and I will respond. And, again, if you're interested in coming on the show to join us, you're welcome to come on anytime, join us, be a coordinator, be a motivated participant. And again, we have in July, there's going to be an event with another group, and we're going to be joining them, and they are going to be joining with us in our endeavors to bring about justice. So I hope everybody will join us when that time comes as well. But, yes, you can reach me on Messenger, Leona Brando, Brandao, or you can reach me at nvopres@gmail.com. I will respond.
Jean at 215-858-0095. My email address is djean, that's J-E-A-N Angel, A-N-G-E-L, 04. At yahoo.com. I will answer any questions anytime. And for all the advocates out there, please show your faces and your voice. There's a lot of you out there, but we haven't found any yet.
Great. And this event that's going to be held on July 22nd, it's going to be a National Day of Activism. The person that's putting it on, again, was a former correctional officer, and what she has is torture by name is still torture, by any name is still torture. We must stand up in mass to address harsh solitary confinement practices. We are calling all organizations to come together to push for change on a more national level. The United Nations Standard Minimum Rules for the Treatment of Prisoners, known as the Nelson Mandela Rules, adopted in 2015, offer guidelines for ending the inhumane practice of prolonged isolation. The Mandela Rules call for UN member states to prohibit indefinite or prolonged solitary confinement that is beyond 15 consecutive days for all incarcerated individuals. The lack of responses to these erogenous atrocities has led many confined in this manner to embark on a national day of activism. On July 22, 2023, join other states in activism events, including outside activism, will include mass mailing, governors, legislative offices with personal accounts of torture, phone zaps, petitions, rallies, and more. Issues we will be addressing is the high rates of suicide and deaths, denied educational, religious, and vocational access, weeks without any chance to leave their cells, limited or no food, cell floors wet with human waste and urine from flooding, cell fires, lack of access to outside recreation, inadequate medical care. We are seeking unity through activism to demand real and progressive change and solidarity. For more information, please contact Emily Shelton of ESHELTON at ignite-justice.org. Also involved is a Texas prison reform, Ignite Justice, and many more. So we will be interviewing the initiator of this on the, I believe it's the 18th of this month. Let me just double check for sure.
That would be April, Leona.
Well, I'm sorry. We're still in March. It'll be the April 18th. Let's see. And it will be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And that will, it's on the 11th, April 11th. At 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And we hope everybody will join us on that day because we're going to be talking about this. We'll be talking about ours again. So please join us on the 11th as this upcoming Tuesday we'll be talking more about this. Next Tuesday we'll be talking more about this. And also, I want anyone interested in joining us, please contact us, please get in touch with us, or please call in to join us. The number will always remain the same on Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, and that number is 657-383-1630. Again, 657-383-1630. Every Tuesday from now until the end of May, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Leona, let Josie chime in and give her information.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can be reached at J Maminski, MAMINSKI 1242 at gmail.com or 410-725-0086.
Thank you, Josie. So there is no reason why anyone can say they don't know how to get in contact. Again, please join us. This is going to be something that will be historical, and it will be safe, and it will let us know, let our media know, let our legislative members know, let the governors know, let everyone know. The change needs to come in the United States of America. If we continue to incarcerate people without releasing people, you may find someday that you yourself or your loved one is going to be behind those prison walls as well for jaywalking, for something minor, because it's continuing and it has to stop. We have to use the money, the taxpayers' dollars needs to start being used to establish residential treatment facilities, housing in hospitals and treatment facilities. There used to be at one time, there was a mental institution around the country. And granted, it wasn't, these facilities weren't the best, but it's up to us to make it the best. We can have these facilities established. We can bring in professionals, experienced, real professionals. We can defund the DOC and use the money to put people in these facilities for treatment, mental health, substance abuse, anger management, address the mental health of all these people that have built up so much anger throughout the years because of what they went through, and there was no support for them. Many people behind those prison walls have gotten so frustrated because they didn't have the support before they went in. And many of them, since they've been in, still don't have that support from their families or their friends. So I'm just going to ask everyone to think about it, to pray on it, and to please start looking at the possibility of your involvement being part of the resolution and not part of the problem because you choose not to get involved. We're not asking you to go out in the streets. We're not asking you to do anything outside your home, just to make calls. If you call about abolishing the death penalty, call the media, call your legislative members and say, it doesn't make sense. Why are we killing somebody because they kill somebody? Is that the way we want our children and our people, our families and friends to believe? That's two wrongs don't make a right, and that's what's happening. And this is all people have to say when they call their legislative members or the media. Two wrongs don't make a right. Just a few sentences, and then go on to something else. Write a letter to the media and say the same thing, or contact another legislative member. Say the same thing. Just a couple of sentences. That's all it takes. Two wrongs don't make a right. Is that punishment? Is that teaching somebody that you should not commit a capital offense by committing a capital offense yourself, and you're supposed to be the righteous one? Abolishing life sentencing. People make mistakes. Prisons are full with wrongfully convicted. What is it proven? That's all. Say it to them like that. What is it proven to put somebody away for the rest of their lives for making a mistake or for being wrongfully convicted? If they're serial killers, if they're terrorists, if they're mass murderers, keep them in for the rest of their lives if there's no way to reform them or rehabilitate them. But the rest of them should not. Other countries, 25 years. That's what we should be doing, giving them 25 years maximum. But in those 25 years, also give them appropriate rehabilitation treatment, reform. Give them higher educational correspondence or in program. Give them that opportunity. Give them the appropriate psychological. Get DMH involved. Meet with these prisoners at least once a week or once every few months to talk to them about what led them to the way they are today, what led them to the crime they committed. It only takes a few words, a few sentences to say to the legislative members, this is how we want to see it happen. We want to see these people that are coming in. We want to see them get out in 25 years. But in the meantime, give them the appropriate treatment, higher educational courses, appropriate mental health, appropriate medical, work programs. These are all the things that people normally would say anyway. They don't really need scripts, but if they need scripts, we'll put scripts together. I definitely will be writing one up. But anyway, I want to thank you again, Josie. I want to thank you, Dorothy. Audience, you have the information. Please join us next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Again, 657-383-1630. If you have any ideas or if you have any other issues that you want us to include in this, please let us know. Because in June, we want to have all the issues ready to go. We want to have the scripts ready to go so everyone will know what they're going to say when they do contact the media and the legislative members. Let us know. Until then, we're going to sign off for now. And I want to thank you again, Dorothy, Josie, and I look forward to our next, you know, we actually have some on tomorrow. I'm going to see what we have coming on Thursday. And the
20th. You're fading out, Leona.
Okay. Have anything? Okay, we don't have anything for that day. 8. Okay, we are going to end this episode now, and we will see, hopefully we'll have everybody coming on with us Tuesday of next week. And hopefully we'll have more people that are interested in talking about some of the issues they'd like to see addressed. In the meantime, I hope everyone has a good week and a good weekend. And we look forward to next Tuesday to talk more on these issues. Dorothy, thanks again. Once again, thank you so much. And we'll be talking soon.
Angels be with everyone. And please pray for all the incarcerations.
Amen. Please do pray. Everyone, stay in prayer on this, because this is definitely the year that something's are going to happen. And we're looking forward to making it positive with all of you joining us. So we are going to end this episode. Once again, I thank you all for being on with us, and we will look forward to hearing and having you on with us next Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy.
Good night.